Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power and we shine a light ahead of us, the path where evolution is leading. Purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems rather than defend positions. We have another purpose too, and that is to provide context at a time when content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. One of the downsides of the contentious and polarizing political conversation we're caught up in is that our attention is diverted by identity issues that emphasize our differences so that we neglect the identical issues we all share in common: clean air, clean water, clean food, and clean government. Speaking about food, when Bruce Lipton and I published Spontaneous Evolution nearly 10 years ago, in a chapter on our current economic, ecologic, and political dysfunction, we had a section called Money Changers in the Temple, Monsanto Clause is Coming to Town, where we talked about the lengths Monsanto, now part of Bayer, those wonderful folks who brought us Auschwitz, has gone on to own life forms. We'll explain that a little bit more later. Short form, they've developed, Monsanto has, genetically modified seeds they call Roundup Ready, because they and they alone can resist the toxic herbicide in Roundup, glyphosate. The idea is to poison the soil and all non-Monsanto plants and then sell the remedy so that eventually Monsanto will own the keys to life. Our guest this week, Jeffrey Smith, literally wrote the book on genetically modified organisms. He is a leading consumer advocate promoting healthier non-GMO choices. Jeffrey Smith was named the 2017 Person of the Year by Masters of Health magazine. For more than 20 years, his research has exposed how biotech companies mislead policymakers and the public and put the health of society and environment at risk. His books include Seeds of Deception, the world's bestseller on GMOs, by the way, and Genetic Roulette, the documented health risks of genetically engineered foods. His feature-length documentary, Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, was awarded the 2012 Movie of the Year by Solari Report and the Transformational Film of the Year by Aware Guide. He's founding executive director of the Institute for Responsible Technology, IRT, and he is a leading source of GMO health risk information for consumers, policymakers, and healthcare professionals. I could go on and on about his accomplishments, but instead, I'm going to let Jeffrey Smith speak for himself. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Great to be here, Steve.
Okay, good. Now, we're going to talk about your newly released film. It's called Secret Ingredients That You Made with Amy Hart. So let's jump in. Just tell us something about the film.
Well, it's about individuals and families that heal from serious conditions when they switch to organic food. And the serious conditions are pretty dramatic. I mean, two kids had autism and they're no longer on the spectrum. Dozens of couples who were infertile have children, people had cancer, people had skin conditions, allergies, digestive problems, depression. So the situation is that this is, it may sound like science fiction or good luck, but we also have physicians in the film, like David Perlmutter, who's the New York Times best-selling author, and others, who say that these are experiences that they have regularly and predictably with a percentage of their patients. And then we have scientific explanations as to how GMOs and Roundup, which are sprayed on, Roundup is an herbicide sprayed on most GMOs as well as non-GMOs, might easily precipitate these particular diseases and disorders and are likely doing that throughout the entire population.
Very interesting. We'll go a little bit deeper into that. But first, let's hear a little bit about your own background. You've been involved in this issue for more than 20 years. What's your background and how did you become involved with GMOs?
Well, I've been doing this for 23 years and I've been speaking in 45 countries and given 1,000 lectures and 1,000 interviews and wrote books and made movies. My background, strangely enough, is not in science. It's more in communication and education. And I had listened to a scientist in 1996 describe the dangers of GMOs in very scientific terms and realized that the information wasn't getting around. It wasn't being cast in a way that was going to be viral. In those days, viral meant something very different. And it was not generating change where it needed to change. So I decided to step in to give a little help to the issue because the issue was an A-plus issue. It's rare that you, or even unique, that you have something that can affect all living beings and all future generations. And that's exactly what happens when you alter the gene pool, release it into the environment, and then you cannot recall it because it self-propagates generation after generation, and we have no technology to clean it up. And besides that, it's built into the process that it creates unpredicted side effects. So it was a recipe for disaster, and I decided it was time to help out, and then it became all-consuming.
All-consuming. Well, I think it seems like GMOs have been all-consuming, and we've all been consuming them, at least unconsciously, unless we're intent on not doing that. This is your fourth film. What were the other ones, and how is this one different? What's so important that we need to know about right now?
Well, the first one was called Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals, and it was basically an introduction to GMOs aimed at protecting kids. Then it became, the next one was a short film called Your Milk on Drugs, Just Say No, all about the dangers of genetically engineered bovine growth hormone and some of the cover-ups and false science used to promote that. My last film, Genetic Roulette, was the probably the most popular film on GMOs, and it showed the dangers there, but I didn't really emphasize as much the damage caused by Roundup, and there's a lot more information now. The other film came out in 2012. This new film, Secret Ingredients, came out a couple of months ago. And Roundup, it turns out, is not just sprayed on GMOs. It's also sprayed on non-GMO crops, the grains like oats and wheat, etc., on beans and peas and legumes. It's also sprayed on potato fields and sweet potato fields and in citrus orchards and vineyards. In fact, it's found throughout our food supply, and it is so dangerous that the call to action is a bit different. Instead of what I used to say is, eat non-GMO, and if you can, eat organic. Now I say, eat organic, and if you can't, at least eat non-GMO.
Huh. I see that. So is it true that all organic is automatically non-GMO?
Yes. It's not allowed to contain GMOs intentionally. Of course, there can be some contamination. Now, what's interesting is that the organic standard was created before GMOs were on the scene, and it's not based on testing, so they don't test to see if there's any chemical drift necessarily. They don't test to see if there's any GMO contamination. However, the non-GMO project does require testing if you use any at-risk ingredients like the soy or corn that may be genetically engineered. So we say in the film that the gold standard is to get products that are both organic and non-GMO project verified. That way, if it's organic, it's certainly not allowed to use GMOs, and it's also been tested by the non-GMO project or the labs that they approve, and it's not allowed to use Roundup herbicide because that's one of the prohibited substances in organic. If something just says non-GMO, like, for example, oatmeal, oats contain maybe the highest residues of glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, which has been declared a probable human carcinogen by the World Health Organization. It's linked to all sorts of diseases, and it's really rampant in oatmeal. Now, the oats are not GMO. There's no genetically modified oats on the market, but oats are sprayed just before harvest as a way to desiccate or dry down the grain and force force the ripening as well. And it gets right into the oats from the spray, and so we eat it. So that's why the desperate call right now is not just non-GMO, but organic.
So we may as well get into this right now. What is it that that Roundup does to human beings? Monsanto has been saying for years that it doesn't interact with our microbiota, with our bodies. But what does it do? Why is it dangerous?
Well, there's a lot of things. Originally, it was patented as a stripping agent to strip the minerals off the inside of boilers and pipes inside factories. So it was a descaler. And the reason why it descaled the minerals is because it's a chelator. It grabs onto the minerals and doesn't let go. And that's one of its major properties, that it's a unique molecule in that it grabs onto so many of the minerals. And that's one of the things that it does, is it creates a mineral deficiency in our bodies, in our food, in our animals, and in our bodies. So we end up eating Roundup-ready crops like soy, corn, cotton, canola, sugar beets, and alfalfa. And we eat the cottonseed oil. People are wondering how we eat cotton. and all of these are Roundup-ready, genetically engineered, meaning they're engineered by Monsanto to be sprayed with Roundup herbicide, and then there's a mineral deficiency there. The animals, the livestock, eat the mineral-deficient Roundup-ready crops, and they become mineral-deficient. We eat the animals plus the crops plus the residues of glyphosate, which further bind with minerals, making them unavailable. Now, mineral deficiencies, especially the trace minerals, are related to a host of different diseases. In fact, some say almost all of the major diseases have a source in mineral deficiency, but that's not all. One of the outcomes of being a chelator is that it is also an antibiotic, and it kills bacteria, but it kills selectively the beneficial types of bacteria, the kind we want in our gut, and does not kill the salmonella, the botulism, the nasty stuff. So we all know now that the microbiome or gut bacteria inside us is extremely important for health. It's involved with detoxification, it's involved with digestion, and it's part of our immune system. And it can get damaged from antibiotics, and glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is patented as an antibiotic. Glyphosate also breaks apart the cells in our bodies. So when we have that along the intestines, we used to have tight junctions. In the presence of glyphosate, it creates holes or gaps, and that leaky gut is linked to a long list of diseases. So right now we've just described the mineral deficiency, the microbiome damage, and the damage to the gut walls, and all three are linked to a long list of diseases, as are the problems with hormones, problems with neurotransmitters, problems with mitochondria, and all of that is related to glyphosate. And as I mentioned earlier, the World Health Organization declared it a probable human carcinogen. And we believe that these reasons can explain why more than 30 diseases are rising in the United States in parallel with the increased use of the amount of glyphosate-based herbicides sprayed on GMOs. We think the glyphosate or the Roundup has a major contributing factor to many diseases, and we also believe that the GMOs themselves are another contributing factor.
Yeah, and that's why I think I really enjoyed the movie and I got a lot out of it. We're going to have a break coming up in a few minutes, but let's begin the conversation. What were some of the health conditions that people were suffering from in the film. They switched to organic diets and remarkably got better. Describe some of those conditions and perhaps what might have been causing the conditions in the inorganic or GMO food, and then how they were able to restore their health.
I'll start by saying this, Steve, that the conditions were not, I mean, they were totally predicted, and here's why. When I released the film Genetic Roulette in 2012, I started asking audiences what they noticed when they switched to a non-GMO and largely organic diet, and it was consistent in more than 150 lectures. People noticed that digestive problems were the number one issue, then fatigue and brain fog and losing weight and mood and anxiety, etc. And so we decided to do, at the Institute for Responsible Technology, a survey. And we got 3,256 people to fill out the survey. And the order of the diseases and disorders that got better was exactly what we saw in the 150 lectures. And it was exactly what we were hearing in dozens of medical conferences where doctors were representing their thousands of patients saying the same thing. In fact, 85% of all the people that filled out our survey had improvements and significant improvements in digestive issues. 60% had improvements in fatigue, 55% in losing weight, and more than 50% in, or around 50% in brain fog, anxiety, depression, food allergies, memory, concentration, joint pain, seasonal allergies, gluten sensitivities, etc. So when we actually found individuals who were having these experiences with dramatic stories, we decided to go into their homes and interview them. And the first, I was speaking in a chiropractic conference, and I asked from the audience, asked the audience from the stage the same question I asked, just how many people noticed a change when they switched to non-GMO and organic, and what were those changes? And then I said, if anyone would like to share their experience for themselves or their patients, we'd like to videotape your interview. And Kathleen DiChiara, a mother of three, came over and she was interviewed. And her story was so compelling. It was one of the most powerful stories I had ever heard. And I probably hear more stories around this topic than anyone in the world. And her story was so compelling, we decided to build a film around it. Her family had 21 chronic conditions between the five of them. She had been paralyzed. Her son had autism. Her husband, breast tumor, another son had eczema and allergies, another one had bloating, constipation, and asthma. And she added them all up, and it was about 21 chronic conditions. She lost her job at a Fortune 500 company and then realized that the food may be related to what was going on. So she started to systematically experiment with the family. And she removed certain items and noticed there were improvements. So she had removed preservatives and processed meat and some soy and dyes and other things. And there was improvement, but they were still managing all these different diseases. Then she learned about Roundup and GMOs. And when she switched to organic, after years of suffering from these diseases, they quickly all went away. Some immediately within 2 or 3 weeks, some within 3 months, and then in 6 months she was talking about basically being free and clear. Her son was no longer diagnosed on the spectrum. She was able to go back to work. Her family is the central core. And it was interesting, in the same day that we interviewed her at the chiropractic conference, I interviewed a chiropractor who had a practice who was having a remarkable success, 100% success rate getting infertile couples to have kids. And
Jeffrey, because we're about to take a break. We're going to come back in a very short minute with Jeffrey Smith and talk about Secret Ingredients, his recent documentary film. Steve Behrman, Wiki Politiki. We'll be back shortly.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Behrman. I'm back with our guest on WikiPolitiki, Jeffrey Smith. He is an expert on genetically modified organisms. He has a new movie out called Secret Ingredients, and we were talking about that. And, you know, you mentioned that here's a chiropractor who, and simply by having their patients eliminate GMOs and eat organic, that 100% success in having their conditions clear up. Now, again, I watched a very interesting series called Interconnected, which talked about the microbiome and featured something called functional medicine, which is basically getting to the root cause of things rather than simply masking the symptoms. And one of the points made in that film, and I think it's a point that you've made as well, is that it takes a while before these discoveries that are on the edge of science. In fact, science is proving that that these organisms are dangerous for us. But because of how the mainstream medical system operates, it takes a while for that to get to the general practitioner. So. Again, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, and in the movie, of course, you show that. How do we make that, how do we accelerate the process of letting more and more people know about this, even if their own physicians don't know about it?
It's a great question, and I have noticed a split within the physician world. I'm invited to a number of physician conferences, but it's not the mainstream physicians. It's the more progressive, advanced groups like functional medicine, and I've been invited to be on faculty on their online training programs documenting the health dangers of GMOs and Roundup. And by contrast, I remember giving a talk to a small group of very successful entrepreneurs, and one person said a few years before he had a serious GI tract problem, and his doctor said, "I can tell you why you have it, but I'm not going to write it down because it's too controversial." And he said, "What is it?" And the doctor said, "It's because of GMOs." So there is an actual fear among mainstream doctors to introduce this as a possible cause. And mostly there's ignorance. Sometimes there's fear, mostly there's ignorance. But what's happened is, you mentioned Monsanto at the top of the show. Monsanto's been the big bully on the block. They're now part of Bayer, but they still have that same bullying capacity. And they focused on four areas to put their pressure and manipulation. And one is mainstream media. The other is farm organizations and farmers. The other is government. And then the other one is, I just dropped the question, Steve.
That's the first time in 23 years.
Maybe I was exposed to Roundup.
That must be it. We need to round up these thoughts in your brain here.
Academia. Got it. Okay. It just took a bit.
We knew we'd round it up.
Right. So the academia model for them is that they create a sense that anyone who is against GMOs or GMOs in particular is somehow anti-science. So those of us who are calling for more research and more science, we're called anti-science. And they create this influence in academia through a combination of being very threatening and aggressive against anyone that mentions anything that might relate to any problems with GMOs or Roundup. And we have documented this. It's throughout my book, Seeds of Deception. It's in my movies. And they also have manipulated government regulators so that the regulators march in lockstep with the same myths. But they also contribute money to many organizations, to the land-grant universities, and they in turn also dictate the agenda for research for farming and also stop research on the health dangers. They also have patents on their crops and make it illegal for people to do research on the crops because you have to get permission from them. And at one point, there were 26 entomologists that complained in a letter to Scientific American and to the general public about the fact that there's no good research on GMOs because they're not allowed to do research because of these patents. And then the editor of Scientific American came out in favor of that position, that there should be open and free testing, and then he was quickly replaced as the editor. We think that might be related to that. So we have a situation
where... What a coincidence,
where,
huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's really very, very important. You know, years ago, and this is nothing new, by the way, I used to do tree work for the city of Ann Arbor. This is going back to the late 1970s. And at some point, the Parks Department used an herbicide, I'm not remembering what it was, around the base of an oak tree, and they actually killed this old oak tree. So because I was doing comedy even back then, we had something called the Urban Forestry Workers Survival Manual, and our definition of weed killer was chemical substance that kills living things, some of which are weeds. And I remember talking to the arborist who was very involved with the University of Michigan, Department of Forestry and so on. And he's a friend of mine. He was a fairly articulate guy. And I came up with a list of the chemicals that were being used, and I found out that they were dangerous. And he says, "Well, who says so?" And I said, "Well, Rachel Carson." And he says, "Oh, Rachel Carson is an alarmist. Okay, this is 1978, and in 40 years, that's pretty much how far we've come. That there's been this level of intimidation, and last year." I went to listen to a friend's presentation at Singularity University, which is the artificial intelligence center. We could use some real intelligence for a change, but this was in Silicon Valley. And they had a number of people who were competing for several positions as interns there with various projects. And one of the people had this, one of the women had a project for identifying seeds to make sure that the seeds were not essentially counterfeit or dead seeds. And we listened to her presentation, all made total sense. And then at the end, we see that her presentation was sponsored by Monsanto. And lo and behold, she was one of the people who got the actual internship, whereas my friend, who was really talking about remediation of the soil, didn't get anywhere. So I think that there is this level of intimidation. I want to get back to, of course, the results in the movie, but before we get to that, what are some of the ways that that our listeners here can help clarify this for people? Because I go to people's homes, I look in their garage, and guess what they have? They have Roundup there.
Right.
Somehow imagining it won't impact them or their plants. How?
Well,
can
I think what I'll do is I'll give out a number of websites to the listeners so that they can access deeper information than we'll be able to cover here. First of all, Secret Ingredients, you can watch that at secretingredientsmovie.com. It's also on iTunes and Amazon and Google Play. And it is going to be the motivator to actually get everything else done. So I would say start there first. Then if you're interested in learning about the dangers of glyphosate or Roundup and why you shouldn't be spraying it around your lawn, or in fact, there's ways that you can get your city council and your homeowners association and your park manager and et cetera to stop using it, go to RoundupRisks.com, and it's all about stopping the spray. For general information about GMOs and Roundup, our main mothership website is ResponsibleTechnology.org, and that's from the Institute for Responsible Technology. And if you have pets, well, the good news is we have PetsandGMOs.com to give you some information about which pet foods are without the GMOs in the Roundup. The bad news is that it's such a devastating impact on animals. Dogs that have been tested, their urine contains 40 times the amount of glyphosate residues compared to humans, and their cancer rate is off the chart, and we think they're related because we know that glyphosate is linked to cancer. According to the World Health Organization, it's a probable human carcinogen, but it does cause cancer in animals, and they have the highest cancer rate of any mammal, more than one out of every two dogs. And we have a two-minute film and also a 10-minute film where we have veterinarians describing the dramatic changes in dogs and cats when they're switched to an organic diet without GMOs and Roundup. So it's with the livestock, it's with the pets, it's with the humans. Even lab animals that are force-fed GMOs and Roundup, they suffer from the same type of problems that we all get better from when we switch to organic. And they're the same type of problems that are on the rise in the U.S. population, parallel with GMOs and Roundup. And if you look at the specific modes of action of GMOs and Roundup, you would predict these same problems with the gut bacteria and the hormone system and the mitochondria and the minerals and the leaky gut, etc. So it's all linked.
Amazing. As I said, I was very heartened watching the movie. Tell us a little bit more. I mean, we're not going to spoil the ending of the movie because I think everybody really wants to see for themselves that one remarkable family with 20-plus conditions that got cleared up. Let's talk about there's two issues I think that are really important. One is autism, which is, again, off the charts in this past generation. And the other is about infertility. Tell us about the results with those two.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to my friend Stephanie Seneff. She's a PhD and a professor, senior researcher at MIT. And she's an expert. She not only has a biology degree, but she's an expert at computer systems and artificial intelligence and all that. So she is able to pull data off of the web and the scientific literature to grab everything that's known about a particular topic and then deal with the big data. And so she wanted to apply her tools to solve the puzzle of autism. And so she pulled in all the data about what were the characteristics of the physiology of an autistic person and also the symptoms or the modes of behavior. And she said to me she was able to tell and understand why the autistic person had the symptoms based on the changes in their physiology. but she could not figure out what the environmental insult was that created those changes, and she pulled the data on all the different environmental poisons that she knew about, and nothing fit. Nothing fit the pattern until she went to a lecture by another friend of mine, Dr. Don Huber, a professor emeritus at Purdue University, who talked for 2 hours about glyphosate and Roundup. And Stephanie said she was on the edge of her seat because everything fit in perfectly. And then she and others gathered the data and produced along with Nancy Swanson, produced a chart of the incidence of Roundup use compared to the incidence of autism. And there are several different ways they calculated it. But when they calculated, for example, the autism prevalence for six-year-olds, and they compared it to the total of the previous 4 years of glyphosate use sprayed on GMOs, it turns out the slope of the line was virtually identical with the autism rise. And that was showing total exposure over 4 years, not just for 1 year, but the previous three as well. So it was amazing that there was the correlational evidence, which of course doesn't prove anything on its own. But when you see what glyphosate does, and she talked about its effect on so many different systems, like the gut bacteria, like leaky gut, like all these different aspects that we know are off in an autistic child, for example. So this was very compelling. And I've heard over and over again from parents of autistic kids that when they switch to non-GMO or organic, there's big improvement. In the film, obviously, we had two kids who are no longer on the spectrum. And a third mother had a child whose son was developing autistic symptoms. He went from A's to D's in school. He started lashing out, a lot of different symptoms, and then got tested for his gut bacteria and found that there was bacteria and fungus in there that was similar to that which is found in autistic children. And then they had the urine tested of the boy, and he had 8 times higher amounts of glyphosate in his urine than anyone who had been tested in Europe. Well, then when they got rid of the glyphosate sources in the diet, then the symptoms went away, and they never come back, and he has no more detectable glyphosate in his urine, which was a remarkable intervention by his mother, who happened to be a anti-GMO, anti-glyphosate activist, or that was part of the reason, but she's in the film. Zen Honeycutt does a fantastic job of sharing really remarkable and dramatic situations that happened in her home with her kids that verified the link in her mind between those particular disorders and the GMOs and Roundup that were first exposed to them and then taken away.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jeffrey Smith more about his movie and about other things that we can do to make sure that we stay healthy. Steve Behrman, this is Wiki Politiki.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network. Presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, hi, this is Steve Behrman. We're back on Wiki Politiki with our guest, Jeffrey Smith. We're talking about his new documentary film, Secret Ingredients. And, you know, this is actually very good news. I live here in Northern California in the wine country, and there was an article in a local Sonoma paper. I don't even know how it actually managed to make it into the paper last year, which talked about the amount of glyphosates found in wine, in all of the non-organic wines. And given how the prolific exposure that we have, certainly through the animals that we eat and the things that foods that we're exposed to indirectly, I think it's remarkable that these conditions cleared up when people changed their diet. So I think that that's really, really good news, given how prolific Roundup is, that these autism symptoms and tendencies disappeared. Tell us more about that, and also about the infertility issue.
Yeah, let's go there right away, because I know some people in your audience probably are very interested in that. Just to clarify, the chiropractor who has this clinic in the Midwest, she has three pillars of her practice. One is an organic diet. The other is chiropractic, and the third is mindset, you know, getting confident in outcome. And when she applied all three, and she considers the foundation to be the organic diet, then she had 100% recovery from the infertile situation of over 90 couples. And she told me, when I last asked her, there's never been someone who followed the protocol 100% who was infertile that didn't end up having children. 100%. Now, when you look at what could possibly be causing the problem, there are many, many data points that link GMOs and Roundup to reproductive problems. There was a study that was published out of Moscow. The Irina Ermakova, she was a senior researcher at the Russian Academy of Sciences, and she fed female rats genetically modified soy starting 2 weeks before they got pregnant and through the pregnancy and lactation, compared to non-GM soy. And in the non-GM soy group, there was a 10% death rate within the first 3 weeks. In the GM soy group, there was over 50% death rate. And then she took the survivors and she tried to get them pregnant. And when it was she matched rats between the offspring that had been fed GM soy, none of them gave birth. It was only when they were matched with others who were in the controls or the controls themselves. So there was a reduction in the fertility. And then another Russian scientist found a near complete inability to have children or babies among hamsters who were fed GMO soy for three generations. By the third generation, most were sterile. When you look at what the modes of action could be, we know that the chelation of minerals could affect the health of sperm, for example, etc. In fact, when you look at the reproductive organs of rats and mice that were fed GMO soy, for example, they had damage to the young sperm cells, damage to the testicles, damage to the ovaries and uterus, and changed hormonal levels. The manganese is important for sperm motility. There's GMO or Roundup is very linked to birth defects in a big way, both in experimental evidence and also widespread application, particularly in Argentina, where the birth rate, birth defect rate is skyrocketed associated with the increased use of Roundup and glyphosate-based herbicides. So there's plenty of evidence showing that if you want to have a healthy baby and have a healthy reproductive system, you want to go organic. And in fact, there are studies that show that when you're organic for a couple of weeks, you eliminate a lot of chemicals from the blood. So one pediatrician who's in our film, Michelle Perrow, has mentioned to me privately that she recommends to all the couples that if they want to have a child, they must go organic in at least 2 weeks, and ideally much earlier, but at least 2 weeks before they plan to conceive.
That's very excellent. And again, it's heartening because even though, even with all of the propaganda and the massive monies that and influence and leverage and bullying on the part of Monsanto, those wonderful folks who brought us Agent Orange, now we have, you know, people can actually use the marketplace to fight back. And is that, that seems to be the major theme of your Secret Ingredients movie, that individuals can actually impact the marketplace through demanding something that will hopefully have to be supplied. Is that the point?
It's interesting. It is a side effect, you know, and it is the point. I mean, what I have helped do is focus the world debate and discussion on GMOs to the health dangers. Because before I got involved in it 23 years ago, there was no nonprofit talking about the health dangers in more than three or four sentences. Everyone was focused on environmental issues or patenting issues or farmer issues. And I realized that it was somehow that the Monsanto seemed to be controlling the debate because their biggest vulnerability was the health dangers and no one was talking about it. So We exposed the health dangers and I interviewed dozens of scientists and got very clear as to what those dangers were. And we portrayed it accurately and with great power and great data. And now 47 or 46% of Americans say they are trying to avoid GMOs. Now, that shift in the U.S. psyche is changing the U.S. diet because the food companies realize that if they use GMOs and they don't have that non-GMO sticker, they're going to lose sales. And so the tipping point is underway in the United States, which is when the food companies realize that in order to maintain market share, they need to be clean from GMOs. Now, we need to extend that to organic, and we need to nail the coffin shut on GMOs because it's still being used in many of our foods, but it's being phased out in many brands. But we need to nail the coffin shut on GMOs and usher in a tidal wave of new and more committed organic eaters. And when I screened the film around the country and at premieres and at festivals, I'd ask the audience to rate themselves from 1 to 100 what percentage of their diet has been organic. And I'd say, okay, how many are low percentage, 1 to 20, then 20 to 40? And they'd raise their hands depending on which category they were in. And then I'd get on stage afterwards and said, before I just answered any questions, I said, okay, I want to know what percentage of organic you plan to eat after today. And no one is 0 to 20. No one is 20 to 40. Everyone is crowded in the higher 60 to 100 range because they realize that even if they're not suffering from a particular disorder, not only do they want to prevent it, but the brain fog, the fatigue, the anxiety, the depression, all the basic quality of life pieces could get better. And they understood why. They understood the physiology that between GMOs and Roundup, they can alter and damage the fundamental building blocks of our health. And so the reason why I'm in the game is not to get one or two people to be healthier. It's to change the structure and health of our entire food supply, and that actually is what's happening. So our Institute for Responsible Technology, we've been working around the world, but we want to export the healthy model that we've created in the United States to other countries so that we have a non-GMO food supply around the world. We want to promote organic and bring it to basically every level. So we are a nonprofit, so I encourage people to make a donation at responsibletechnology.org so we can continue with this work and get it out to billions of people.
Now, you know, of course, Monsanto, Vandana Shiva writes a lot about the damage that Monsanto did in India. Many places around the world are ahead of the United States in curbing these products. This summer, Monsanto got hit with a $289 million lawsuit judgment when a jury concluded that Roundup caused cancer in a groundskeeper who was spraying Roundup over long periods of time. How has that impacted the conversation? I understand that that judgment was upheld. It's been challenged, of course. Say more about that and the impact that's having. There's obviously other people waiting in the queue who've also had damage done.
Right. So the judge did lower the total penalty to $78 million, and there's about 9,700 plaintiffs waiting in the wings for their day in court. I have interviewed the top attorney, the lead attorney for that case. His name is Brent Wisner, and we have a five-part interview, which is absolutely fascinating. Some people describe it as life-changing, and that's at responsibletechnology.org. I highly recommend it. The stories are amazing and dramatic and interesting and gripping, and they reveal some of the inner workings of what happened in the lawsuit and some of the ways that Monsanto has been manipulating the government, the EPA, for example. He was able to get millions of documents into the public domain, and what we found out is simply breathtaking. Unfortunately, there was a judge that decided to limit what the plaintiffs could present in their fight against Monsanto, which may have an impact on future trials. And it's unfortunate because a lot of their shenanigans, how they manipulated the regulatory agencies, which is what they're not allowing into their first part of the trial, that reveals how they have manipulated public opinion and science to pretend that glyphosate and Roundup are safe. You see, in one of these judgments, there's two types of penalties. There's compensatory, which is based on the question, did Monsanto's product cause cancer? And then there's punitive, which is, did Monsanto act with malice in such a way that it was deserved to be punished? And the jury basically awarded Lee Johnson in the trial that was in August, the trial was in August. I think the judgment was in September. They awarded him $38 million in compensatory, but $250 million in punitive, and that was dropped by the judge. So what the other judge wants to do is say, we're just going to focus the first half of the trial on whether Roundup causes cancer, and we're not going to introduce Monsanto's efforts to manipulate regulatory agencies. But having studied those pages and those memos and those texts, throughout that is basically the revelation that Roundup causes cancer, and what they did to disprove that or cover that up is very valuable to understand this causal relationship.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting karma to be perpetuating those lies. In the movie, I do believe there's actually a video of a Monsanto executive simply lying, simply stonewalling, simply saying there's perfectly okay. Don't believe any of this stuff. And, you know, people, I know people who go, oh, yeah, it's probably safe and so on.
Yeah, I was actually, Steve, I was on the Doctor's TV show in 2015 after the World Health Organization's determination with a Monsanto toxicologist. And she was like all bright and happy and say, oh, yeah, it's completely safe. And then when Brent Wisner discovered all these documents and made them public, I looked up her name, Donna Farmer, and sure enough, in private, in memos and emails, she was not so confident, and there was clear links between Roundup and cancer and tumors and miscarriages that she was fully aware of, even saying to one of the employees, we can't say that Roundup doesn't cause cancer because the research hasn't shown that. And so I contacted the doctors and said, your guest was lying 2 years ago when we were debating, and they invited me on along with Brent Wisner and one of his plaintiffs for an entire hour-long show exposing Monsanto's Roundup and cover-up.
That's really a very, very excellent, excellent sign. We're about done with our show. Our guest has been Jeffrey Smith, who is has a new movie out called Secret Ingredients. If you go to WikiPolitiki website and look at today's show, you'll have a link to his responsibletechnology.org, and we'll tell you how to see the movie. Jeffrey, thank you so much for enlightening us, and thanks for the good news that people can take charge of their own health. This is Steve Behrman.
Thank you. Safe eating.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. WikiPolitiki, we'll catch you next week.